Yes, welcome back everybody. It is another episode of Free Kick and today we have, of course, another team preview and today it is the Geelong Cats and it would not be a Geelong episode if we weren't joined by our resident Geelong superfan, Will. It wasn't exactly the season that Geelong were hoping for last year. 6 losses and 1 draw to go along with 4 wins. Are you excited for them this year or is it a case of, again, tempering expectations?
G'day, Liam. Yeah, it wasn't quite the year that we were hoping for last year. As you say, the four wins, but a percentage of 109, which is pretty healthy. So the games they won pretty handily, but there were some pretty average games in the first half of the season. That Carlton game comes to mind. That was a pretty deplorable loss, but the thing that does fill me with a little bit of hope is that they were able to match it at times with some of the better teams. The draw against North Melbourne being probably the key example of that. I mean, they were the only team to take points off a rampant North Melbourne team for the entire year, which is definitely something to hang your hat on, if nothing else.
Yeah, and look, it wasn't just the North Melbourne game. It was also that Hawthorn barn burner. Was that a mid-season night game that was absolutely exceptional just in terms of how scoring it was? And I would say that Geelong probably have the record for most memorable games in one season because the Hawthorn match, there was somehow the North Melbourne draw, the only team that actually looked like beating North Melbourne. And then that Carlton game, which you mentioned, which is seared into my brain as one of the most bizarre bad performances of all time. We're just hoping, though, that with some of the ins and outs, unfortunately, that Geelong have this year, that they'll be able to put a better team on the park. In terms of the ins, there's one name that I really want to talk about, and it's Katie Tipping. What can you tell me about her?
Yeah, Katie Tipping. Geelong's been crying out for a number one ruck option with veteran Kate Darby pretty much filling in after being a key forward for much of her career. But Katie Tipping coming over was a former Australian volleyballer. 190 centimetres, so plenty of height there. Going to be pretty raw, but very, very promising signs. They've also drafted pretty tall and drafted the areas they know they need to fill through the actual draft. They've brought in Piper Dunlop, who's another rucking option, and then Alexis Gregor and Sienna Talariti, both defenders. So clearly there's been a bit of work to address some of the players that they've lost in the recent off-season. In terms of the outs, Olivia Fuller has retired. And they also lost Lily Pierce, who did do her ACL last season as well. And Abby McDonald and Brooke Plummer have been delisted, so basically replacing 2 defenders and 2 rucks with 2 defenders and 2 rucks.
Then that's before we even get to Anna Rose Kennedy and Chantel Emmonson, both inactive for this season. So that's another 2 defenders out the door, and safe to say that Chantel Emmonson will be a big loss. The only other major out to mention is, in fact, Darcy Maloney, who has you have long been the resident Darcy Maloney fan, almost beyond your love of the Geelong Football Club, forever invested in her expansion. I'm sure it's disappointing to see her leave.
Yeah, very disappointing as a player who can play across that half-forward line and through that midfield. There's a few players we'll talk about a little bit later on who can maybe fill that void. But yeah, Chantel Emmonson, massive loss. Geelong have signed Emma Kilpatrick, who's a halfback winger, hopefully to fill some of that void, but it's going to be really hard to replace her experience in that precision kicking.
100%. Well, before we get to the fantasy analysis, we are joined very ably today by an interview from Claudia Gunjaka. Let me throw to that one right now.
I'd like to welcome Claudia Gunjaka from the Geelong Cats to the Free Kick podcast. Claudia, how's it going?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. So at the time of recording, I think we're almost exactly halfway through the preseason. How's it been going so far?
Yeah, it's flown actually, which is crazy when you think about it. But preseason's been great. Been I've personally been really enjoying it this year and loving being on the track every day. And I think, you know, the girls feel really connected this year, and our group as a whole, there's just a really nice energy on the track every day that we're out there. So, yeah, it's been great.
Nice. That's good to hear. So for you personally, I think you've already got 39 games under your belt, so you're approaching on the big 50 this season. When you like reflect on your journey through the AFLW so far, are there any areas that you really point to as like where you've really matured as a player, or growth steps that you've enjoyed going on?
Yeah, I feel like this year, even though we haven't started the season yet, but just within training alone, I feel a big shift in my own game, and I guess my own leadership as well on field too. So I feel like this year, coming into now, I think it's my fifth season, so really feeling a bit more confident. You know, I've held that sort of key defensive position for quite a while now, and so really confident in my own role as well. And I'm really enjoying bringing the young ones with me and educating them and learning a lot about them as well, but using that in a way that I can progress my leadership skills too on and off field. So I feel like, yeah, this year has seemed so far probably a nice shift in my confidence, I think, this year.
Yeah, nice. Like, yeah, you mentioned you're coming into your fifth season, and it's all four seasons in the back line down at Geelong. So you've really like formed a good role for yourself down there. In terms of like some of the young ones you're talking about mentoring and training on the field, like who have you been working with?
Well, in our back line alone, we've sort of got Lexi, Gregor, and Sienna. I'm not even going to attempt to say her surname, but they've been amazing, and I've really enjoyed how much that they just want to absorb all the information that you can give them, and their ability to want to learn as well. And yeah, their ability to seek feedback too has been really cool. So I've been really enjoying, yeah, sort of mentoring them on the way, but also, yeah, bringing them with me along the journey too.
Nice. That sounds good. Good for them. The Cats saw a really strong 2023 campaign, but then had a bit of a disappointing finish last season, not quite going to plan. Now that we're like quite a way through the preseason, what has Daniel Alpha's message been to you and the group around how you're going to bounce back this season?
Yeah, I think last season, even though we didn't make finals, I don't think that we believed that we couldn't either. So I feel like that belief was definitely still there. And you know, a few things probably needed to change this year in terms of game style and how we go about things. And I feel like that confidence though is definitely still there. And it's, yeah, we go out on the track and we know that we can contend with anyone and that we can make finals. So we're really excited to bring that challenge upon us, and probably off the back of last year makes us even hungrier as well this year to get there. And, you know, last year we sort of, we took it to Brisbane, who were eventual grand finalists, and then, you know, kept North Melbourne to their only draw for the season. So, yeah, like we definitely know that we can be up there and we can be a part of finals. So hopefully we just bring that confidence and energy into it this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, speaking about North Melbourne, I think there might be your round one matchup.
Yeah, so it's an exciting round one. Yeah, we have them every year. So to be honest, I wasn't surprised when that was our round one matchup. But yeah, I think it's an exciting challenge every single season we have against them. I think we respect them a lot as a team, as vice versa. I feel like they show us a lot of respect too. So I feel like, yeah, it'll be a good challenge, and I'm pretty excited to play against the reigning premiers.
Yeah. I mean, the last time you saw them was a draw, so that's almost as good as you can get compared to a win against, you know, last season's reigning premiers. So what in particular does good look like in that round one then with such a interesting matchup?
Sorry, you cut out a little bit.
Sorry. what does good look like? Like, is it a win, or are there particular areas that you're looking to see the squad improve on?
Well, I feel like, especially with North Melbourne as our opposition, we haven't actually beaten them yet. So, and coming to that draw of last season has been as close as you can to get to a win. So I feel like that internal motivation of winning is probably our, you know, is always there, is always going to be there. But I guess just playing on the back of how we've trained all season so far and hopefully progressing forward, and just making sure that, yeah, we stick to our structures, our game plans and everything like that. And I think we'll put in a good performance.
Yep, I think so too. It'll be, I'm very excited to watch that one. It'll be great. So looking at some of the player movements that you've had coming into this season, so very exciting news for Chantelle Emmonson that she's inactive for pregnancy, but that's great. I'm sure that's one that's going to be kind of sorely missed at training without her down there in the back line with you. What adjustments have been made to the backline group to accommodate for that?
Yeah, obviously we are losing, well, personally, my favourite teammate, quite very close with Shani. So, but obviously huge things for her, which is awesome. But definitely I feel like the two that I just spoke about, Lexi and Sienna coming through, but we've also had Emma Kilpatrick as well as a late sign on come into our defensive line as well. So there's so much depth and growth in that group that even though we're losing a key pillar of our back line, there are definitely girls in our team already who have stepped up to the plate and also girls who are just, I know will fly once they get the opportunity as well. So there's definitely girls in there that can definitely fill that void that we're sort of missing as well.
I think Geelong might have had one of the oldest squads last season. So it's really good to see like quite a lot of new younger talent coming through in the back line and you like having that opportunity to step up and train them a little bit up.
Yeah, I think I'm starting to notice the shift in the younger ones when their birth year is becoming like 2007 or something. Ooh. I'm almost shocked, but it's nice to have some fresh new energy too.
Nice. So Rachel Kearns is another player that really impressed last season. Love her run and carry and strong overhead marking, always good to watch. Is she looking healthy coming into this season so far?
Yeah, I think Rach is looking pretty good. Obviously, she's actually stayed from she stayed back this year. Usually she goes home a fair bit in the off season and spends a lot of time there, but she stayed a fair bit of time back here, and I think she just loved it. And I feel like she was able to get in a lot of touch and a lot of footy in that sort of pre-season time, and when we had sort of just some touch sessions and things with the girls as well. So I think for her to be able to get her hands on the footy more and develop her game in terms of knowledge of football, because obviously that's obviously one area she hasn't really watched all her life, footy like the rest of us. Yeah. So for her just being around, I think has been awesome. And yeah, she's really, she was really flying so far. So yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it makes sense that a longer period in Australia and just being around footy a bit longer would have an impact.
Yeah.
So in terms of other young players joining Geelong this season, there's a couple of interesting options in the ruck. Piper Dunlop coming in the national draft and Katie Tipping coming over from volleyball. That's going to be an interesting mix to see, like two quite young new players and then Kate Darby, who's one of the most experienced kind of older players. How's that rotation mix working? Is it the same kind of like teaching, learning, development, or is it a bit more of a rotation?
Yeah, well, I guess with Katie in particular, coming from volleyball, it's a whole new sport and a whole new thing to learn. But I think, you know, having the likes of Darbs around has been really good for her so that she can develop her game and understand the game as well, because it's always hard coming from another sport. But we've also got the likes of Erica Fowler now, who we signed recently, who's also looking at a good option in our ruck line, hopefully. So Erica's obviously got a lot of experience under her belt being at Collingwood prior to this. So, yeah, it's been awesome having her around too, with a little bit more experience in that area as well, to teach both Piper and Katie the rounds of ruck. I really can't talk much on ruck because that's not much of my position, but definitely I'm sure that they're loving having the likes of Darbs and Erica around as well.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Erica Fowler, because I was going to ask, she played full forward back at Collingwood but then had that killer season as a ruck in the VFLW. Training mainly in the ruck, were you kind of playing on her a bit if she's back down full forward?
I don't think that we would lock her down to a position as such. I think keeping, like with most players, having options to put them in different positions is really special. So she's a great girl though. Like, I've loved having her around, and, you know, she hasn't been in our program for very long, but I feel like she's already been here for a few years. So I'm really enjoying having Erica around too.
Yeah, you picked up both Erica and Emma Kilpatrick very recently, like in the last couple of weeks. So that's thrown straight in there.
Yeah, they've moulded really well. So, they're doing awesome.
Love it. So Geelong, we can't really talk about Geelong without mentioning the killer midfield trio there. Amy McDonald, yep. Georgie Pasparkas and Nina Morrison, of course. Looks like you guys ran a pretty tight midfield group last season. I'm wondering, now that there's a bit more of a focus on some younger talent flowing through and like building for the future, are we likely to see such a tight midfield rotation this season? Or might someone new, like maybe a Bella Smith who's just recently joined, is that someone we might see pop up through there?
Yeah, well, we definitely saw glimpses of Bella and Caitlin Thorne as well last year come through that midfield. And I think, you know, as we spoke about before, having that depth to be able to play in those roles, and, you know, you don't know what the season's going to look like. You don't know if there might be an injury somewhere coming into the season or anything like that. So those players need to step in. But I've watched them at training and they're really blooming this year. And I think for them, having the likes of such a good trio in the midfield is actually really good for them to learn off. Their standards are higher. I can already see it in their training as well, because they've got those three to mould themselves off. And those three are awesome always as well, and with their training standards and the way they go about the game too. So definitely I think that we will see glimpses of your likes of Bella floating through the midfield as well.
Yeah, it would be such a great place to develop, like as a young midfielder, because you've not just got one person you can, like one like elite player that you can be following around, but you've got like three kind of really experienced players to be learning off. So that must be amazing.
Yeah, no, it's awesome for them.
Looking at the forward line, this was really a strength for the Cats last season, particularly with Ash Maloney leading the goal kicking, just phenomenal there.
Yep.
Someone that we really missed seeing last season, though, was Chloe Shear. I was wondering, how's she going this season? Is she still in rehab or is she looking like she might play?
Yeah, she is in rehab still. She's had, I think she had a surgery in the off season or something. So she's, going through her rehab, progressing really well through that. So we will be very keen to have her back out again because, as you said, we missed her dearly last year. So, I'm very excited to see Shiri back out there. And she's going well, progressing through her rehab, and she's constantly working really hard, which is great to see.
I really hope we can see her out there. That would be great for this season. And then the final question that we like to wrap up our interviews with is, we ask all of our interviewees, who's someone that you are really excited to watch this season, who's going to have a big breakout year, make an impact straight away for Geelong? You can only pick one player, though. Who would you reckon?
I think I'm going to go with Michaela Bowen. Obviously, she had a great year last year and really stepped into her new role as a high forward. But I think having that year under her belt as a high forward, I'm loving her training presence at the moment. Just the way she goes about it, she's so attacking, and she's just got that grit and that hunger to win the ball every single time. So I'm really, really excited for her to have a huge year. I just know she will, because I often think that she's bound for great things in our game.
Awesome. That's like I said, that's not what I was expecting, but that's a really good one to hear. Yep, sounds great. Lock it in. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Claudia.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Cheers.
Excellent stuff there, Mel. Claudia, fascinating to listen to. Let's jump right into the fantasy analysis now, though. Number one, Will, who you got?
Yeah, number one, we're going straight into what has always been the strength for Geelong, and that's the midfield. My number one player, Georgie Prasparkas. Very much underpriced thanks to an injury-interrupted season last year. Resulted in a pretty low average for her of just 73. And given she averaged 96 the previous season, I reckon there's at least 20 to 25 points of potential upside there. Under $1 million in your salary cap, I think there's an absolute steal in Georgie Prasparkas.
Yeah, we've always known that she's got the ceiling. The reason why she's not been that 100-plus player, probably down to the fact that she is such a taggable option at Geelong. But the fact that she's going to be coming in priced at 73 with a full off-season, hopefully healthy, gives me some cause to believe that 20 points of upside should be a slam dunk, fingers crossed. Now, I do just want to say, though, the run to start for Geelong is a little worrying, if you were to ask me. Just they really don't get many easy matchups, particularly for midfielders, until later in the season. So it's North Melbourne, Adelaide, Sydney, Essendon, Richmond, Port Adelaide and Hawthorn for the first seven rounds, none of whom were easy scoring matchups for midfielders last year. So that is the one downside for Georgie Prasparkas for what is an otherwise pretty spectacular option.
Yeah, it's probably the only caveat, I think, because Prasparkas, we could probably all agree, is a very talented player, very capable of averaging well into the 90s. And it's kind of a good jumping point to my number two player, because the story is almost exactly the same thing for Amy McDonald. So Amy McDonald, midfielder, priced at 940K, so slightly cheaper than Georgie Prasparkas. Injury interrupted season last year, did a hamstring injury and missed a number of games through the middle of the season. But prior to last season, where she only averaged 72, had two seasons in a row where she averaged 90. So again, another option to potentially cash in 20 points of upside. I put her slightly lower down than Prasparkas. I think there's a little bit less of a ceiling and a little bit more inconsistency from Amy McDonald. But I think one of the things that is really interesting from her last season was in the game she did get injured, she got injured on a score of 62, which was from 38% game time, which is pretty wild.
And she's always been that points per minute kind of player. It is just been, and I agree that having her second below Georgie makes sense. It's not by too much, though, because Georgie has the tag problem, but you mentioned it. Amy McDonald loves a 60 when you're not expecting it. Quite often, it comes down to her handball happy nature. Now, before last year, her kick-to-handball ratios, 0.8, 0.7, 0.6, 0.8, 0.6. She loves a handball, and unfortunately in the fantasy game, that is just not what we're after. But I do think that 72 is well under what she can score. The question will be, and Will, I want your thoughts on this, is it going to be a case of slowish scoring to start the year and then a real explosion in the back half, at which point these Geelong mids become targets? Or is it going to be able to be consistent even in spite of that fixture?
Yeah, it's quite hard to say because the start of the year is pretty tricky, but we've seen that both Prasparkas and Amy McDonald, they do have the ability to just have one out of the box regardless of the opposition. I mean, we know that they're both tackle-heavy players as well, which can be a good thing against more difficult oppositions. I think that because they are coming back from injuries, there's a chance it might be a slower start. You never know. I think that there's just so much upside there for these two players that you could probably pick one or both of them if you're looking for bargains. And even if they don't necessarily start the year reasonably well, I'd be fairly confident of them at least averaging like an 80, which means you're still getting a little bit of the price rise. But you probably could, you know, give it a week or two and see how they're going in terms of, have they started the year really well? If they come out with a bang, you could still get them reasonably cheap.
Yeah, I think that's some pretty sound analysis. And at least for Amy McDonald, she's not averse to scoring sometimes pretty decently well against North Melbourne. She had that 90 against them in round two earlier in the year. That gives me some hope. It's still a risky though. Now, who is your third option? Are we going midfield again, or have we got another position?
I'm just going to stick in the midfield because I'm going for the player who basically stood through and had a really great season last year, and that's Nina Morrison, the one who's usually getting on the end of all the handballs from Amy McDonald. Had her best career season to date last year, averaged 90, and her averages have just been slowly creeping up, an 86 the previous year. She's a star ball winner. We've known that for a long time. I guess the main reason she's behind those other two is that she's priced at 1.16 because she's got all of her scores and no injury discount. So going to be a good scorer again. I'd expect a 90 average. There's a lot of points in that Geelong midfield because they basically just share it amongst each other. So you could be going for a unique option if so inclined with Nina Morrison. She'll be fantasy relevant in that she scores well, but I think if you're looking for a player to start with, I'd be looking at one of the other two just because the value's there.
Yeah, whereas I actually think Nina Morrison is exactly the type of the player that we might look at to finish off your midfield if she is pushing into that mid to higher 90s. You said she's improved every year. Let's not forget that her highest averaging season is technically her first, which was a 92 off one game.
Yeah.
Just outside of that, it's been 57, 59, 71, 84, and 90. And I think the other thing to mention with Linda Morrison, she's someone that we've previously worried about a bit of forward time, and she has been a forward in previous seasons. I think season eight, she was a forward in fantasy, which is actually excellent. That 84 average was superb. But I think with Darcy Maloney gone, I think that takes away one of the issues that might have caused Nina moving into the forward line. I think they've got a solid trio up top.
Yeah, for sure. And she's just coming off a best and fairest winning season as a midfielder. I think that moving her out of there is not on anyone's agenda, which is a good thing for both Geelong and for fantasy players. I'm going to move on to number four now, because I figured if I've gone through the big three centre bounce players, I may as well go for number four. Number four is one we mentioned earlier, and that's Katie Tipping. Bottom of the barrel price, a 300k ruck rookie. There's a few of them around this year, but Geelong are just desperate for a genuine first ruck. And Katie Tipping's the most likely to be given that role, probably given the first look. She's 24 years old, 190 centimetres tall, so there's plenty of development there and plenty of scope to be a big hit-out winner. I think that she'll be given a bit of a chance to develop, so there's probably going to be low time on ground, and I wouldn't be expecting massive scores from her. But at 300k, that's basically just to make you 100, 200k and then move her onwards later.
She's absolutely on my watch list, because sadly we got to see one quarter of her in the VFLW this season. I think the plan had been to get her to play a bunch of games and then got injured, which just so par for the course for Geelong. I will just say this on Katie Tipping, though, and why it's a big watch. First few matchups, she hits North Melbourne. So she's got Emma King and Kim Rennie. Then goes into Adelaide, who are Adelaide Rucks, genuinely the most difficult matchup of any in the game. Jess Allen is just an absolute power of strength. And then goes from that into Ali Morfitt, who probably leaps higher and has a whole lot more strength in her game than you would expect a 190 centimeter rookie play. Her Katie Tipping selection rests solely on how she looks in the preseason.
Yeah, and I think that you look at those matchups, and obviously there's powerful, strong rucks across most of the competition, but especially going basically straight into your AFL career, not just your AFLW, but playing football career against those sorts of teams, I think they'll rely quite heavily early on in the season on Kate Darby. So she could potentially even be a downgrade option later on, even though she's likely to play early given, you know, Geelong need the ruck. I think that there's a chance that we'll probably have scores in the, you know, 20s and 30s early on, doesn't earn a huge amount, and then once some of our other rookies might have made us a bit of money, she might be a downgrade option just to get a little bit more once she gains a bit of confidence.
Yeah, but let's not fully discount it as well. Like, we hadn't seen any, like, minutes at AFLW level from Ailish O'Dowd up before round one last year, and she was a pretty unique athlete herself and kind of came out and did things straight away. So it's not red line straight through. There's too many red flags, just a few hurdles for Katie Tipping to get over. Will, who's your fifth player that you want to talk about?
So my fifth player is basically the fifth midfielder, I think. We talked a little bit about Darcy Maloney. Darcy Maloney was basically the rotation player in Geelong's midfield for most of the last few years, really, getting sort of between 30 and 60% CBAs whenever one of the main midfielders, you know, needed a rest or whatever was the case. And Darcy Maloney's now moved on to Sydney. And the player who was already starting to take some of those CBAs from Maloney at the end of last season was Bella Smith. So Bella Smith came over from Brisbane in a trade as a young midfielder. Geelong's midfield, obviously very hard to break into with those big three. So spent a bit of time on that half forward line and didn't do a huge amount in terms of scoring. But they clearly want to get her a bit more exposed in that midfield. And so this one's mostly based on the role. So if she is getting those, you know, 70% to 50% CBAs, there's a lot more opportunity in there to be getting the ball. And as a forward priced at only 379K, so just above some of the rookies, if she can even take that average up to a 40 or a 50, there's a lot of money to be made there. And who knows, if she's getting a lot of quality possessions from an Amy McDonald or a Georgie Prasparkas passing it out to her, it could even push up to a 60. That's very optimistic, obviously, but if that were to be the case, she'd be pushing into a really strong position as a money-making on-field rookie.
Yeah, that's not a bad shout. I have a feeling that she will factor into our considerations, particularly for F6, just given her price. And I think there are going to be some other players in that low 400s, mid-400s range in our forward line that we're going to look at. I don't mind having a look at Smith. I will just say, though, the one you say fifth midfielder, do you mean fourth or is there someone else in there? Because at the moment it's...
Well, Katie Tipping's the fifth midfielder.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, I see what you mean. I was just like, because my one comment, there's been no mention of a defender. Even though we know Chantel Emmonson is out and they're missing Anna Rose Kennedy. Like, I know it's not necessarily following the structure, but who is your guess for the point scorer back there?
For me, I think it's Becky Webster. And the problem for us with Becky Webster is she's listed purely as a midfielder. She's had good seasons on halfback and in the midfield, but tends to be around about that 60 to 70 average, which as a pure midfielder is just not going to get us, you know, any sort of value. If she was listed as a defender, I reckon fantastic. She'd probably be taking a few kickouts. We know Claudia Gunjaka has taken a few kickouts in the past as well. But yeah, the fact that Becky Webster's been listed purely as a midfielder is a bit disappointing, in honesty, because she would have been a really good option in the back line if possible.
Yeah, that is my thought as well. I think Rachel Kearns is another one that I'm just going to watch out for. I just watch out for her anyway because she's a hilarious footballer to watch. Just bash and crash constantly. It's great to see.
And I will say about Rachel Kearns, she actually looked really, really solid at the end of last year. She was reading the play really well, looking very calm back there. I'm not sure it's going to necessarily translate into big fantasy scores, but she's a player that will definitely become more important in that Geelong backline this year.
She had her highest score of her career in the last game of last year with a 72. So not beyond the realms of possibility that someone priced at 40 could go mid to high 50s, just a player to watch out for. Sadly, though, not the player that is the host special for me. I have just want to just I'm going to cheat and I'm going to say just the forwards for Geelong are my host special because I think there's just some bit of value in all of them. I think that up there for the top line, Ashley Maloney really took a step forward last year and showed herself to be a genuine like forward superstar. I just wonder, like, I think she's priced in the high 60s, might be, hang on, let me just pull hers up. I think it's high 60s, 68, but she definitely improved in the back half of the year. I think she went at 74 in her final three games. I do wonder if there's still some value.
Except for the 26 against Adelaide in the final round. So that actually probably takes her down even a little bit to help your point, I suppose.
Yeah, I definitely think that there's some reason to believe that Maloney is going to be, because she had, so she went outside of that 26 in 100% TOG too, gee whiz, 115, 80, 91, 64 in the four games before then. Definitely a player that I'm watching for, could be an F1, F2 candidate. In the mid bracket, I think Zali Friswell is another one that I'm going to watch. We know that she can go at that 60 mark. Again, a forward who is priced cheaply. I definitely think I'm going to be taking a look at Zali Friswell, particularly when she's given that role as a winger and a link-up player. She's one to watch for. And then the final one is someone that we have been talking about for a long time. It is Chloe Shear, another forward who has averaged in the mid 40s, high 40s. She is someone who priced at 426K. So priced basically as a rookie, that very rookie that compares to Smith, is another player to watch out for, because I think if she is playing, she's not getting dropped. She's 100% part of that best 21 for Geelong. They were crying out for a second forward last year. So there are my kind of cheating host specials. It's just Geelong forwards. There's one on in every price bracket for you to watch out for.
Very, very on brand for you, Liam, to say, let's pick one player. Here's my three.
Yeah, look, I am nothing but on brand. And Will, you have been on brand. You've been excellent today. Talking about Geelong, he is your number one love. Don't let your partner hear that. Because I believe that it otherwise has to be Collingwood only. Hopefully you enjoyed today's episode. Keep following us on every platform to find out more about the AFLW fantasy preseason, but then also make sure you're looking at our Substack, where there are articles to go along with every single one of these recorded episodes. That means then, though, we're at the end of today. Hope you had a great time and keep listening. Cheers.
Catch everyone.